Okay, it's that time again to bring you up to date as best as we can in terms of the ongoing catastrophe of the genocide, which was induced by the Department of Defense, Pentagon-owned and promulgated mass, quote, vaccination, end quote, protein injection program, which has nothing whatsoever to do with health, your health, anyone's health. These are bioweapons. That's what they are. We know that. Remember over the 40 bioweapons labs in Ukraine? Remember that? Wonder what they were doing there. I wonder. And those don't count the bioweapons labs in Georgia and all the other countries in the area there. These are all United States taxpayer-funded enterprises and endeavors. Don't forget that, too. Erica, welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
You mean it? Really?
Oh, yeah. I look forward to this.
We do our best, and this is it's the most difficult reporting job, scientifically speaking. You're a scientist, I'm a journalist, that we could ever take on. It is unprecedented in world history. We don't know the exact carnage totals yet. We're watching and trying to guess as we go along, and we will never get the actual number from the so-called government. They're lying every step of the way. And there's so much plausible deniability now. People can literally die from several dozen major diseases and complications thereof coming directly from the needle. Don't get a needle. No more needles. Remember that. No needles. I don't care what it is, unless you're unconscious and you have to. And you better have somebody advocating for you to make damn sure they don't shoot you up with these shots if you don't have any. Because they will. They've done it. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
What's the latest? Just to give me a quick overview, a flavor, a feel of the social media groups. We're talking myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, clots, heart issues of all manner, brain issues, blood issues. What are we hearing? And, oh, the endometrial cancer epidemic, and it is that, and women being taken out of the reproductive pool forever, if not having their lives just about terminated. It's that bad. What's going on out there?
Yeah,
Same old, more or less?
No, I would say it's changing a little bit. There is a particular group dedicated specifically for young women with endometrial cancer. And by young, I mean 20s and 30s. And that group is probably 3,000 strong. And it is just, it's utterly tragic to see women of that age having their entire reproductive futures taken away.
They're just taken off the table. They're gone. It's like,
you know, to be
there.
Having a cancer like that at that age.
Right.
And there is no discussion of you know, whether or not these women got the vaccine. I mean, this group has been in existence since, I believe it was 2017. So this is not necessarily a new phenomenon, but I think it's exploding in the past year or so because of these injections and what they're doing to women's physiology.
Well, the brutality of it is something that nobody really understands unless they've gone through it, I guess, or maybe has a loved one who has. I mean, they're told right away, once they're diagnosed with any kind of a tumor or growth, to entertain the idea of a full hysterectomy, ASAP. And they're just gone. Their reproductive organs are
whacked out.
Well,
they go in there and you know, they usually present with these nonstop bleeding issues. And then they try to remedy it with progesterone, which, you know, they're assuming that this is an estrogen-driven condition, which mm-hmm. you know, would be a logical conclusion. But the progesterone is not resolving it. And then sometimes they'll try an IUD, which should curtail the bleeding, and that doesn't do it. And then their next option is to have a biopsy of some sort, and sometimes it comes back normal, but then this bleeding issue persists, and they're back in the doctor's office a couple months later, and then they find out on a second biopsy that cancer has arisen. And then they're kind of shuttled down that pathway of having their reproductive organs removed. It's utterly tragic.
That's horrible. All right. Meanwhile, halfway around the world in China, where allegedly this whole thing started, and we have our doubts about that. There are many possibilities of original origin. The possibility of a big COVID-19 rebound in China over the next 2 or 3 months is remote, they say, as 80% of the people have been infected and now have immunity, so says a prominent government scientist. Now, that said, hundreds of millions of Chinese are now traveling all across the country for their lunar holiday reunions that have been suspended under the recently eased COVID curbs. Remember the zero COVID policy over there? Zero? Raising fears of fresh outbreaks in rural areas less equipped to manage large outbreaks. China has passed the peak of COVID patients in fever clinics, emergency rooms, and with critical conditions, so says a National Health Commission official. Nearly 60,000 people with COVID had died in hospital as of January 12th, roughly a month after China abruptly dismantled its zero COVID policy, according to government data. Can you believe it? I don't know. But things are moving rather violently in China in some cases. They've let everyone loose. They're able to travel. They can leave the country. And they may be carrying things with them. So there we go again. Seems like we did this once before.
Yeah, you have to wonder if this is setting the stage for something similar here.
I wouldn't be at all surprised. They're going to be coming in here again. And remember, Trump allegedly tried to stop the Chinese tourists and students from coming over here in such numbers by blocking direct flights from China only if a flight went from Beijing to Hong Kong and then here, they could come right in. So the whole thing was ludicrous. Just a joke. Okay.
Okay, one of the benefits
now,
of being in this...
Whoops, hit that too soon. Hold on just a second. Stop. Now, one of our listeners, Mary, called and had a couple of notes for me today. I've kind of forgotten some of them, but forgive me, Mary. She said that three people who are, I believe, friends of hers or relatives of friends of hers, three people in the last couple weeks or something, have come down with brain tumors. And she also said that someone who understands the wildlife in that area of the country, Montana, Wyoming, et cetera, is saying that grizzly bears have now been seen to be emaciated and sickly. And I've forgotten what she said the diagnosis was, but it was a little unusual. It was kind of a surprise for me. At any rate, we often wonder here how and if this horror is spreading into the animal kingdom. We know it's spreading into dogs and cats, our friends. We know that, but we don't know about wildlife, deer, moose, elk, bear, rabbits, raccoons, you name it. We're watching. This is a very big story that I don't think has begun to flower or blossom yet. We're going to keep close tabs on that. So if you see any animals that are sick in your area, you might want to report them to your local animal control people. If they're dead, they can catch them, and maybe they can do some diagnostics. We'll see. But I don't trust any of it, to tell you the honest truth.
There's so much death around us now. I mean, I can remember over the summer seeing what I would say was an inordinate number of either sickly or dead raccoons, and no, they didn't appear to be rabid. They were not aggressive and frothing at the mouth, but they weren't acting right. And then, you know, I came across one or two bodies.
Exactly. Okay, here's a little clip for you. This is Dan Bongino, whom Mary said, by all means, take a listen to. We're going to play just a few minutes of this. It was his program today. He has a very wide audience. I didn't know much about him, but apparently he took over from Rush Limbaugh and is doing a very good job. But here's what he had to say today, and I think you'll find this very interesting.
Okay, one of the benefits of being in this business as long as I have, and having seen it from multiple sides, whatever, candidate, working in the White House, being a commentator, is you can see the trends before the trends become the trends, and you can warn people about the trends. And one of the things I warned you about is don't get caught up in the small details of the now growing, metastasizing Biden classified documents case. Did I not, fellas? I told you not to get bogged down in it because the left are absolute experts at misdirection. Look, shiny red object. Hey, look over here.
Oh.
And it happened every single time. I got that. The vaccine debate just exploding now. The culture is entirely shifting. And a lot of people who went out there and supported vaccine mandates and jamming this thing in you against your will, while this show took a stand and gave up a lot to do it, a lot of those people are going to have egg on their face. Loaded show for you today. Stay tuned. Today's show brought to you by GetRefunds.com. You own a business? Well, you know, it's been a bumpy ride from the pandemic to inflation. I'm sure you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It's a refund of your taxes. The challenge is getting your hands on it. How do you cut through all the red tape and get your business the refund money? The answer is simple. Go to GetRefunds.com. The team of tax attorneys they put together
no
are
charge,
highly trained in this little
Dan,
payroll
no
tax
charge.
Refund program, and they've already returned $1 billion to businesses. They can help you, too. They do all the work. So don't charge up front. They simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify,
including those with
PPP, nonprofits, even those that have increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just go to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, and answer a few questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so don't miss out.
Okay.
Go to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com. All right, Joe, that was a big beginning and a big opening, so let's go.
Everything you need to know in an hour.
That was our goal from day one.
You got it.
Why don't
it,
you
brother.
Be able? Well, sometimes we may be. You know, sometime in the future, I may move to more than an hour. I've been thinking about that. I hesitated telling you that, but I may go to a show that's longer than an hour. I'm not sure. Joe and I, that was our goal, and I'm afraid to get away from my BHAG, but I enjoy doing the show, and I leave too much on the table sometimes. Just a thought. Love to hear your feedback on that. So. After the vaccine debacle, why would anyone trust the government anymore? And the debacle from the vaccine is growing. And when I think debacle is actually almost an underestimation of how bad the situation's growing. Okay, there is clearly now information developing about side effects from the vaccine that were either unanticipated. That's the most benign explanation. Anticipated yet ignored, a bad explanation. Or the worst explanation, anticipated and covered up and not ignored. In other words, they knew it and they covered up. The worst explanation. Now, an argument based in science and reason, which we are going to stick to on this show no matter what, is there's now no longer a question that side effects have developed from the vaccine. That we know. But it is a fair and open question to say, well, okay, well, what's the degree of it? Okay. Let's not get lost in hysteria on either side, because as I'm going to show you in the Hunter Biden case and the Joe Biden documents case in a minute, when you get lost in the hysteria, the real scandal gets covered up because the left focuses on small minutiae in the hysteria and forgets the real scandal that you were forced to jam something in your arm that candidly they knew very little about. I've had this enormous fight going on with one of my biggest business partners for now over a year about this thing, covered widely in the news. Over the damn mandate. I've also told you that early on, I was one of like the test cases for this thing because of what I was going through with a blood cancer and the lack of a functioning immune system. And it's the single biggest freaking medical mistake of my entire life. And I'm living in an absolute fear about this from this point on, what this thing could do long term.
Okay, there's another mea culpa. Another vax victim stepping up, like Scott Adams, I played that earlier tonight, who took the shot, and now he knows he's made a grievous mistake. So does Mr. Bongino here, who was fighting cancer, blood cancer, which apparently was put in remission. And you all know what happens to most people who get the shots. Their cancer, if they had it, comes roaring back.
Yeah, that's the trend.
All right, well, that's Dan Bongino, and I'm sorry about the commercial, but maybe it'll be helpful to somebody, who knows. Okay, we have a paper up. It's in the archive on the right-hand side. It's called The Great Graphene PSYOP, The Art of Misdirection. This is Erica's paper. She wrote it. She put it together. I got to read it 20 or 30 times with her. 40, was it? Anyway, it's really beautifully written, and it tells the whole graphene oxide psyop fraud hoax. You've got to read it and pass it around. If you're a graphene oxide believer, if you buy into the psyop, you need to read this paper. It's right up there. It's under our names and guests, and it's also in headlines on the right-hand side. Okay. So congratulations on that. It's really a superb summary of the whole graphene oxide scam.
Well, I never, as I said, intended to write it, but it, you know, you prompted me, and there it is.
It's excellent. It should be passed around to everyone. And challenge those who buy into the GO nonsense. Just read it. Read it.
No, there's nothing to support it. Nothing but stories, narratives.
No, it's all anecdotal, basically, at best.
And I pity the people who are running around thinking that they need to detoxify from graphene. The graphene is not the issue. It's the spike protein and what it's doing with iron.
Exactly. There's another paper we have up, and I believe that's under our names and guests as well. COVID-19 and illegal U.S. bioweapons activity. COVID-19 and illegal U.S. bioweapons activity and insider's revelations by J. Bart Klassen, M.D. Now, that paper is, in my humble opinion, one of the most important papers written in the last 2 years since this horror was unleashed on humankind. He doesn't pull punches. He names names. He makes it quite clear about the hierarchy of the power structure, about who's doing what to whom. It's all there. It's a peer-reviewed paper of sorts. And read it and think about it. Read it slowly. And I would urge you to read it twice, just like Erica's paper. Read it twice so you really get this stuff. Because Klassen has stuck his neck out, in my view, in our view. He has really put his neck out there on this. And I've never seen a paper more methodical in its naming of the villains. It's right there. So make up your own minds, but we highly, highly encourage you to read it. COVID-19 and illegal U.S. bioweapons activity and insiders' revelations, plural, revelations. J. Bart Klassen, Klassen. It's a good one.
If you remember, he was one of the ones, the first to come out before the vaccines were actually rolled out to warn about these prion domains that were in the spike protein. And no one paid much attention to it, or it was deliberately suppressed, as most of the truth often is. You know, they're not going to give you the truth right up front.
Yeah.
But here we are 2 years later, and you know, now we know that this spike protein can induce protein misfolding, and if it's the brain, then it could be the prion protein in the brain, or any number of other proteins that have that susceptibility.
It's a good one, and it does.
Yeah, it is. It's very good.
It's well worth your time. Both papers are. We don't recommend papers very often. Okay. Back to the borderless border of the southern portion of the United States of America, formerly United States. We have Mexicans pouring across. They're not even being opposed anymore. They're being basically welcomed and registered and then bust to their new homes, many of them going into the central portion of the United States, where only, I think, 5% of the people live or something like that, up and down the Midwest, and it's big ag country. So they're putting a lot of them out there. 40 million Mexicans are now in the U.S., according to Mexico's president. 40 million. That doesn't mean they came over in the last 2 years, but this is a recent total, I'd say within the last 10 years, 40 million. And if the current rate of hemorrhage of Mexicans and others coming in here is not staunched, it'll be 60 to 80 million here in another 2 years. I think it's that bad. So we've got that. That story is up in headlines as well. And to see the Mexican president boast about it and brag about it, if that doesn't get your attention, you're not paying attention. It's that simple. Now, Dick Allgaier put together a piece with crypto viewing, and I've got that up at the top of headlines. I'm going to play that for you now in case you missed it. I want you to hear this because every word Richard says is important and is accurate. There's nothing hyperbolistic about it at all. It's all the truth. So let me pull this up here.
Okay, the truth about immigration. Some of you are not going to like this. I invite your comments below. I will read the comments and probably respond to some of them because I'll be interested to hear your thoughts. You can argue back or you can propose what you think might be solutions to this, although there really are no solutions. Hi there, crypto fans. Dick Allgaier here in Honolulu, Hawaii. First of all, Bitcoin, good news. It's holding just below $21,000. Our analyst, Marty Hibbs, is looking at the charts. He says it's still strong. He expects Bitcoin to hit 22,000, 23,000, 24,000, could hit 24,500 in the next week or so. And then he thinks we'll have a check back. But he says things are looking good. He feels we've reached the bottom, that if we do get up to that level, up to 24,000 to 25,000, the check back would only be to 18,000. So that will be the new support level, $18,000. Let's hope he's right. All right, immigration. 6 years ago, I was having conversations with someone who has knowledge in the matter, correct knowledge, it turns out, over all these years. And I brought up immigration, and he said, Dick, the plan is to bring in about 100 million immigrants and refugees into the United States. And I said, really, that many? He said, yeah, that's the plan. 100 million.
100 million to replace the lost American citizens of European heritage who are expected to be removed by the vaccine. Understand, they're replacements.
And what we're seeing is that unfolding right now, and I've got a document that I'm going to show you and some headlines to support this. All right. 100 million, what would be the purpose of that? The purpose would be to destabilize the United States, to erase the economy, the culture, and the civilization, to bring in a unified North America, which would be Canada, Mexico, and the United States, with a different form of regional government. So that's the plan. That's where this is going. All right. What are the indicators? Here's a document that I want to show you that was published by the White House on January 10th. It is the title of it. These guys have a sense of humor. DNA. It is the Declaration of North America. This is a joint agreement by the Mexican president, Obrador, Trudeau up in Canada, and Biden. Obrador, Trudeau, and Biden. Three mental giants. Let's look at what they said in this agreement. I'm going to quote from it. The commitments made during this summit are rooted in a shared vision for a more equitable, just, inclusive, resilient, secure, and prosperous North America, and a shared responsibility to achieve more equitable outcomes responsive to the needs and aspirations of our citizens. As we work to implement these commitments in the upcoming year, we seek a model of a democratic and sustainable path based on trust to promote inclusive prosperity and security. Mexico, the United States, and Canada look forward to building on this progress. So they're putting it out in public. They're saying it in a joint statement. We are going to DNA, the Declaration of North America. They're declaring the merging of the three nations. Continuing on from the document. The three countries of North America each made ambitious commitments under the Los Angeles Declaration, including working together to advance labor mobility in North America, particularly regarding regular pathways, and have been delivering on these commitments. Okay. Listen to those phrases. Labor mobility in North America, particularly regarding regular pathways, and they've been delivering on these commitments. I watched Karine Jean-Pierre about a month ago being questioned about immigration when the mainstream media was finally waking up to the fact that there were hundreds of thousands of people pouring across the so-called border. And someone asked her what Biden was doing about that. And she, for once in her life, actually told the truth. She stood there at the podium and she said, the president is doing what he needs to do. He's doing what needs to be done. Yes, he's doing what needs to be done to merge the three countries into the Declaration of North America. And we see that coming out as, here's another headline. First migrants crossing to the U.S. from Mexico using a mobile app. So migrants, it's been a little bit cumbersome as the hundreds of thousands of migrants come across into the United States. They've had to go to border agents who no longer keep a border. They used to repel people, arrest people, and turn them back and enforce a border. Now what they do is they greet the immigrants and they process them through and they put them on buses and they put them on airplanes and they fly them up into the heart of the country. So it's much easier with this app because people can just make an appointment and then come across and go where they need to go, and they don't need to go through the interim step of actually encountering a border agent. So it will allow more to come through as we work to achieve that goal of 100 million refugees and migrants.
What they're doing is expediting the invasion. There's no other possible way to interpret what's happening here. Make an appointment, show up, come on down. We'll give you all your money, your chits, your credits, your cell phone. We'll get your bus here, your airplane there, and you're on your way. There is no effort being made to turn anyone away any longer at the U.S. border. Now, there are definitions of the word treason out there, very easy to find, and I would challenge any of you to read the definitions of treason and then overlay them on the so-called illegitimate, illegal, unelected president of the United States. See how the word fits. Take a look.
Here's another headline. Mexican president celebrates 40 million Mexicans in the United States. He was meeting with Biden and he admitted that 40 million of his countrymen have now crossed over and are living in America. So there was a long-held number that they used for several decades. Well, there are 11 million undocumented migrants in America living in the shadows. So it was actually more than that. But if you go by that number, that's 11 million. The Mexican president just said there are 40 million Mexicans. So that's halfway to their goal of 100 million. But he was just referring to 40 million Mexicans. We have Haitians, Nicaraguans, Somalis, Venezuelans, Pakistanis, Chinese, Ecuador. I mean, they're just, the world is flushing itself into America. And what you see in Congress and what you see President Trump was trying to do when he was allegedly building a wall, and you see the Republicans trying to stand up for that, and everybody's saying we need to reform our immigration system, we need to build a wall, we need to stop, we need to secure the border. They're not going to secure the border. Everything they do is just theater. It's all theater to keep you complacent. The goal is to bring in 100 million migrants and refugees to destabilize the United States, to merge us into regional government, to erase our economy, to erase our culture, and to erase our civilization. That's just what is happening. I would like to hear your thoughts on what you think you could possibly do about this. Don't just say, well, we're not going to accept this, we're going to stand up. You're going to stand up. What are you going to do? Who are you going to influence? Who are you going to affect? Who are you going to complain to? What concrete steps do you think could possibly be taken by you or anyone else to stop this? This is inevitable. This is a plan that's been in the work for decades and decades. This is being implemented by the people who own the countries. They're the owners of the countries. The people you elect, they don't own it and they don't run it. So I can't wait to hear the comments on this one. I'm going to look at them and respond. But that's the truth of the matter, the truth about immigration, 100 million. And it's, can't you see this is happening? Can't you see that our culture is being torn down, that our financial system is about to go belly up, that the whole civilization is going to be upturned and changed into something different? I'm not saying it's good or bad. Something different is going to emerge from this. All right. I'll read your comments. Aloha.
Okay, there it is, laid out in crystal clear language. That is exactly what's going on. And I'm sure very few of you would doubt for a moment that if we actually had a government and a president, the National Guard would be called out and the border would have been sealed years ago. We don't. We have controllers who are working for the international elite, and they're doing their bidding. And the idea was to take this country down, pull the plug on the U.S., as I told you, I don't know, a year or two ago, a couple years ago. And that's what they've done. No doubt. We don't have a government anymore. We were overthrown. And we have 350,000 American troops, men and women around the world. If only 10% were brought back, 35,000, the border could be secured. No question. With high tech, garrison, you know, 10 or 12 troops every quarter mile, you wouldn't even need a wall. You need to fire shots over their head and they'll turn around and run. It could be done. But that's not the agenda. Simple.
Well, tragic.
The end of the greatest light on the surface of the planet, in many people's estimation, and it's being literally dissembled right now. It's gone.
Well, you know, as you've said, it's been a plan in progress for a number of years. You know, you dumb down the population, you poison the population.
Right.
You feed them nonsense narratives to distract them, and it's easy.
It's not a problem. And the issue, I think, above all, is how easily the American people were beaten up by this fake pandemic and then frightened to death by it and then injected with these biological weapons of death. So you've got a very unhealthy populace who is so confused and so corrupted, and chaos is the rule. That's what they're sowing through the media 24 hours a day. There's no way that people are going to get together and rise up, especially with Gen Z, Gen X. They're not going to do it. That's
Most of them see nothing, not their world.
No.
They see nothing wrong with this.
It's their
normal.
They think
it's progressive. It's for the betterment of all. And
It's you're exactly right. Okay, let's run over to our human side of the ledger for a few minutes, and we're going to play another video here, which is quite a stunner. We'll play that in a few minutes for you. So where do you want to start?
Well, actually, why don't you play the video first, because that kind of segues into...
Want to do that? We'll do that.
Yeah.
Pull it up. Okay. Yeah, Dick Allgaier is just terrific. He'll be on in half an hour. So stay tuned for Richard. He'll be right up. All right, here's your video. This is a clip. This is at the funeral yesterday of Diamond and Silk. This is her sister, Silk, talking. Donald Trump is there officiating at the funeral, and I think her remarks might have been a little bit of a surprise for Uncle Donald's.
And another thing, instead of asking if Americans are vaxxed or unvaxxed, the real question to ask is, are Americans being poisoned? In the wild, when they want to depopulate and sterilize a large group of animals, they usually inject one animal. And then that one animal infects the rest of the animals. So technically, and according to the science, it doesn't matter if you're vaxxed or not. As long as the gain of function allows one injected person to transfer and infect another person, and that person infect another person, eventually everyone will be affected in one way or the other. So, in case some of you have been hiding under a rock or still stuck in denial, people are dropping dead around here. And nobody's talking about it. They're dropping dead suddenly and unexpectedly. The catchphrase is SAD, S-A-D, sudden adult death syndrome. Many call it a conspiracy theory. I call it murder.
Okay, put that in your ear, Donald, and process it. He knows. He knows exactly what's going on. Silk's sister Diamond died suddenly right in her kitchen, right with Silk there. So there you go.
Now, I do we know whether or not they were vaxxed?
We think so. That's the best we can do at this point. She's not denying it. And the little piece she just read made it quite clear that she was talking about the vax. So...
Well, and the clearly shedding.
Shedding.
I mean, that's a public acknowledgement of shedding.
Exactly. Yep.
And
there's no doubt she was vaxxed. Yeah. She believed Donald. They were big Trump fans,
I know.
Remember?
I know.
Warp speed.
Yep.
Let's get our shots. I don't know if Silk got shot too, but he won't quit. He won't quit. It's his marching orders. Keep pushing it. So unless they let him turn it around, there are a lot of people who refuse to support him. In fact, Dr. Robert Malone, M.D., said will not support Donald Trump unless Donald reverses his position on being pro-vaccine.
Okay.
So
why do I feel like we're being played?
Well, yeah. Funniest thing, huh? All right. Next.
So there does seem to be, of late, more awareness, I think, of the shedding and the potential seriousness of it. I think for a while people thought that, you know, it's no big deal. You can detox from it. It won't have any lasting effects. But I think that some people, anyway, are beginning to worry that some of these changes that they've experienced may be permanent. And there's more talk now of finding ways to test whether or not you've been passively vaxxed. And somebody was asking about a particular test today. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, there are antibody tests that will tell you if you've made antibodies against the spike protein, and that could indicate that you were spiked. If you have the actual virus, then you should test positive for the nucleocapsid and the spike. So I guess you could infer from the results of a test like that whether or not you were just spiked or whether or not you were either infected with the virus or possibly passively vaxxed. I mean, there really isn't any way to distinguish whether or not you received the mRNA and translated that mRNA into spike yourself, or whether you just picked up the spike from the environment.
Do understand, though, that if you're around someone who, let's say, has just gotten a booster, and I guess all they're giving out now are the bivalent boosters to people who want to get a shot. They don't give the earlier stage vaccines, so-called, anymore. They're just giving them the booster. But those people are said to be heavily shedding for the first weeks after they get that bivalent booster. And if you're around someone in a crowd and that person laughs or something in your face, ha-ha, you know, you've all experienced that. You could be inhaling not only spike protein, but mRNA, the nucleocapsid. And it goes right into your body. It'll find a cell. It'll transfect that cell and turn that cell into a spike protein manufacturing plant. That's what they do.
Well, there's no nucleocapsid if we believe what they tell us in these vaccines. That would be the virus itself, which is still out there. Still out there. It's still evolving, still circulating.
It's so hard to know what to believe anymore. It really is. It's they've confused everything so much. Go ahead.
Well, there's multiple things to be concerned about that are transmissible. You've got the spike protein and whatever other proteins they've coded for, the URA3665, whatever that is. You've got the mRNA.
Well, they've proven the mRNA is being spread. They've proven
yes,
it.
Yes, in exosomes, yes.
And that means it goes into your body, into a cell, sets up a little manufacturing company to produce spike proteins.
Possibly, or it could just be interfering with your mRNA, the expression of your genome. So, I mean, it's problematic all the way around. You don't want it. And now, a more concern is this so-called XBB variant that supposedly evades all prior antibodies that anybody would have generated against the so-called vaccines or prior variants.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you know, what does that entail? Well, what does this particular variant entail? Is this the cancer variant? I mean, we were, it was implied early on that the Omicron was a cancer-causing variant. Don't know. But there's a lot of cancer going around right now.
Turbo cancer.
Yeah, turbo cancers. Ever since that Omicron was announced, back in December of 2021?
Mm-hmm. About...
So, you know, is it just that these people have taken too many shots and destroyed their immune systems, or is there something in these shots that's deliberately causing cancer?
Keep in mind, most people who have been multi-vaxxed, maybe even one vax, have AIDS to one degree or another. They have a suppressed, dysfunctional immune system. It's not working.
And that's becoming more and more apparent.
And I still want to say one other quick thing. I do believe that most people, it's kind of a human reflex. If you're sick, you're not going to want to admit it to anybody. You cover it up. You keep going to work. You go shopping as long as you can. It's like a herd of animals. It's the same kind of thing. If one animal in the herd is sick and it's lagging behind, the herd will want to get away from it. It'll leave it because it's going to drag the herd down. The herd's competence to keep moving, the herd's competence to keep functioning. Sick animals are not wanted. So there's a natural reflexive response for people to want to hide an illness, especially one that they suspect may be quite serious that they may have gotten from the vaccine, the shot, the injection, the bioweapon. If they can hide it, I say they will in most cases.
Well, and especially with this thing, with the stigma that's attached to people who have been injured by these things. I mean, the families have turned on the injured.
Yes. It's terrible. Terrible.
So, yeah, given the current climate, I think a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that they may be, suffering the consequences of this thing.
And you could see someone in the store next to you. Could be a lady, for example, a young lady, any age lady, middle age, whatever. And they could be having severe bleeding issues, and you'd never know it. And they're not going to tell anybody. You don't know. Or you could see a man, for example, who's having heart pains right there, right now, and he's not going to say anything. So this is probably much more common than we would think. People hiding and covering up. I think it's a reflex as much as anything else. Okay, what's next? We have 7 minutes.
We might as well read this another shedding story.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Okay. Someone says, I just cannot believe that this is happening to me. I was in a Die Suddenly group for the last year, and I'm really sorry for all the scary stories, for all the juice victims. I did not get the juice. I lost my job, and I was thinking I'm protected. I'm 45 years old. A month ago, it started with chest pain on my right side. Three times I visited the doctor. Twice I was admitted to the hospital. I was diagnosed with gallbladder stones, but on my last hospital visit, after a chest CT, they found blood clots in both lungs.
Chest what, CAT scan?
CAT scan.
Uh-huh.
So found blood clots in both lungs. Extensive bilateral pulmonary emboli with associated small right pleural effusion. My thoughts are, what do we eat, drink, breathe? Any suggestions or just support would be greatly appreciated. Stay safe and healthy. And there were many comments to that. Someone says, I wonder about this too. I too have not had any desserts, but I do have gallstones and pains in my body more than I used to. I have had the actual thing that they made in the lab twice, so I wonder if that's why. Maybe we are all in need of a good detox or something. Sometimes I wonder if it's 5G also, since it came out and being put up more around the same time.
Here's one last one. I experienced today the worst shedding ever from a jabbed neighbor. He came to my house for 15 minutes. I smelled from him a chemical smell after he left. I had severe stomach cramps and nausea, but took care of it right away with fennel tea, F-E-N-N-E-L, fennel tea, dandelion, and other caroming, I don't know what that is, and the pain went away. Whatever was in these so-called vaccines is chemical poison, but luckily I do not get sick from my adult children when they visit. Apparently they're shot up as well. Go ahead. What's next?
Let's see. Where do you want to go?
With any more shedding, we can jump on those. There's a bunch. go ahead.
What date are you on?
January 13.
Okay. We did the death from shedding. Well, that bears repeating. That's a shocker.
Go ahead.
Just want to let you guys know, do not dismiss the shedding cough. My partner of 15 years, unvaxxed, caught a cough staying with four times jabbed auntie, an aged care worker, who had a really bad cough about 6 weeks ago. The cough stayed, turned into a cough with occasional vomiting. 3 weeks later, diagnosed as metastatic, that is, spreading, cancer. Innumerable lung tumors, black skin lesions, a liver, 23-millimeter lesions, a broken rib from spreading to the bones. He lost 20 kilograms in 10 days. Just unbelievable. He was perfectly healthy 3 weeks ago. He died last night at 11:11, only 49 years old. Just stunned. Probably shock and denial, but take care of that effing turbo cancer cough. He was unvaxxed and untested. I feel like I'm in a dream. Oh, and my uncle, the partner of that auntie, got sudden lung cancer after the third jab about 8 months ago. She's now on immunotherapy, and the cancer has not grown as of the last two scans. He'd had a scan for pneumonia about 2 months earlier, and it was clear.
Well, I don't know which one you just read exactly. Looking at January 13th.
Yeah,
serious shedding illness. Shedding.
That was death from shedding.
I'm not seeing it. Maybe it's missing. Okay. Sexual shedding 1 and 2?
I think we've done those. Let's see.
Well, you pick one.
Okay. How about...
we got smells?
Shedding duration. This is a good one.
Okay.
How long does the shedding last? I've seen 30 days turn into 90 days. It never stops. So what is it? I mean, the vaccines have been out for 2 years. And first answer, assume the worst. Once the mRNA spike proteins are inside the system of a vaxxed person, it's there for good. You cannot get spike proteins out of the body unless some sort of maximum detox that effectively removes them. I don't know, but there's no evidence to support or refute a difference between vaccinated person spike proteins versus shedded spike proteins. But like I said, assume the worst, so that if it's less than that, then you're safer. Another one says, in death, they will stop shedding.
Here's one more. I don't know if I'm still detoxing from the vax. Shankara Chetty says spike protein only produced for 6 months based on his and his nurse's experience with shedding. A low vax rate in South Africa, so more obvious to them. But that is only talking about the spike protein, not other scary changes. However, keeping it to the spike protein makes it simpler. Whether from shedding or COVID or the vax, it is an inflammatory allergic reaction to a man-made toxin and will therefore have a myriad of manifestations. And one comment to that, what is labeled spike is actually nanotech, and this is an experiment, so who knows how long reproduction of the material lasts. Just keep focusing on self-care and detoxification. And we might want to add there that fasting is another tool that is not talked about very much, that is a good thing to do occasionally, apparently. You want to address that?
Well, yeah, so that seems to be one of the strategies that these injured people are having the most success with. And it makes sense because fasting will allow the body to clear out excess proteins, damaged proteins, through a process called autophagy. And it also curtails the production of the protein. Obviously, if you're not putting calories in, there's not as much to devote towards producing proteins. So that is being used and promoted. I believe the FLCCC doctors have incorporated that. Paul Merrick has made some videos on how to embark on that. But of everything so far, people are getting the best results when they can do that. Now, that's not easy. And I'm surprised that nobody, well, very few, are talking about the use of rapamycin, which is a fasting mimetic. It will produce the same changes in the body that fasting would, but the benefit is that you wouldn't get the rise in cortisol that you can get with fasting. I mean, because fasting is a stressor. It will raise your cortisol levels, and sometimes that's not productive.
But I
suspect at some point they're going to get on the bandwagon, because the first order of business has to be turning off the production of spike protein. Otherwise, it's an uphill battle. It's a reactive exercise, trying to neutralize the spike proteins that are being produced. Why not just downregulate their production? So
I agree. Okay, that wraps it up for another edition. We hope that was helpful for all of you. Do look under our names, and you'll see Erica's paper is there, some other things as well. Very important, Bart Klassen's paper is there too, the one that we mentioned, the two papers. They're there for you. Okay, thank you, young lady, very much.
Okay,
excellent
Jeff.
Work. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back with Richard Allgaier live from Honolulu coming up next. Hang on.